Katie Fallon is with the Avian Conservation Center of Appalachia, a nonprofit group that's dedicated to preserving the region's wild birds. She's currently teaching nonfiction writing classes at West Virginia Wesleyan College. She recently released a book called Vulture, The Private Life of an Unloved Bird. West Virginia Public Broadcasting last spoke with Katie in 2011 after she released Cerulean Blues, A Personal Search for a Vanishing Songbird. Today, we're talking with Katie about the book she co-authored called Look, See the Bird. Katie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
In this book, you introduce us to several different children from different states and different countries, as well as different birds and their migratory patterns. What do kids like about this book?
I think that so far, the kids I've read the book to, they really like seeing the different kids in the different places all meeting these birds. And one of the cool things about the story is that all the birds live together in the same place during the winter. They all live on a coffee farm in Nicaragua together. And then when it becomes spring, all the birds go to these different places all throughout North America. And then at the end of the book, they all come back to the same farm. So I think it's really neat that these birds connect these different kids all over the continent, really.
What did your kids teach you about how to present the topics in this book?
My kids really like dialogue. They really like hearing kids talk in books. But they like it when I do voices, and they like hearing voices, especially of kids. So I tried to put kids talking to each other in this book, as well as kids talking to their parents or their grandparents. But I think a lot of times, you don't hear kids talking to each other in kids' books. You might see a kid talking to a parent or something like that. And I thought in this book I really wanted to have kids talking to each other, not just about birds, but birds could be a part of that. And I think hearing two kids talk to each other kind of lets the kids hearing the story be part of that conversation as well.
When you decided to write this book, did they inspire you to write it?
Yes, definitely. I mean, kids are the future, of course. And if you can get kids interested in birds and nature and ecosystems, and also if you can get them to have some pride in where they live, look at the cool birds that live right around us all the time. They're amazing, and they live here, and they choose to live here. I think that instilling all of that in kids when they're young is very, very important. They'll take that with them as they grow up and become, adults in society.
So do you have the book with you where you can show us some of those voices?
Let me see where the kids are talking to each other.
You got to pour it on now, just like you're, reading to your kids, trying to keep them interested.
Laurel and Cora go for a hike with their mom and dad in Cooper's Rock State Forest in West Virginia. They see oak trees, rhododendron bushes, and mountain laurel, the flower that Laurel was named for. At the end of the trail, they sit on the rocks, eat carrot sticks, and watch the Cheat River far, far below. Look, Laurel says. See the bird? A small hawk flies high above them. The hawk has brown wings and a striped tail. What is it? Cora asks their mom. A broad-winged hawk, Mom answers. She catches snakes and frogs and mice in her talons, and then she eats them. Laurel and Cora wave as the hawk soars along the mountains. Good luck catching mice, they call after her.
Was that inspired by an actual trip to the park?
Yes. So Cooper's Rock State Forest is right up the road from us where we live outside of Morgantown. So we go to Cooper's Rock very, very often, especially in the fall and the summertime. And when you sit at the overlook and watch that Cheat River far below, there are often broad-winged hawks that fly just off the overlook, and turkey vultures also.
It seems to touch on some of different cultures as well. I know that we talk about migratory patterns and things like that, but was it also your intention to touch on other things?
Yes. I wanted to show that, we wanted to show that birds are really the connection between kids from different cultures, kids who speak different languages, kids who might never get to meet each other in real life, are connected through these birds that, navigate through the skies.
Why are those things so important? Why did you want to encourage children to look up and see birds and recognize that that's something they can do?
Well, I think that birds can be a great way to get excited about the outdoors and nature in general. Birds are very important, and they often go overlooked in our everyday lives. You know, birds distribute seeds. They control pests, like some insects and rodents. They clean up our carrion. They clean up roadkill. Vultures are very important for doing that. They pollinate. So they're very important to healthy ecosystems. And I think that sometimes in our everyday lives, we forget that we are part of an ecosystem also. We're not just, you know, walking around looking at our phones. We're participating in an ecosystem with everything we do. And I think that birds can help connect us to that.
Are there any other reasons why you decided to write this book?
The cerulean warbler is the fastest declining songbird in North America, and we have a lot of them here in West Virginia. We have more breeding cerulean warblers than any other state. Ceruleans spend the winters on coffee farms. They use coffee farms in Central America during migration, and then some of them end up spending the winter on coffee farms in Colombia and Venezuela. Unfortunately, since the 70s, a lot of primary forest in the tropics has been cut down to make way for coffee that's grown in the full sun. Coffee grown in the full sun grows faster, so you can turn a profit more quickly, but it also uses a lot of pesticides, fertilizers, and of course the soil is not as healthy when you cut down everything except for one kind of crop. So it's also not good for cerulean warblers and other migratory songbirds and other resident tropical birds who need a place to live. But you can buy shade-grown or bird-friendly coffee instead, which is coffee that's grown in the shade of the forest's canopy. It can be a little difficult to find shade-grown coffee, but it is out there. The Smithsonian Migratory Bird Center certifies coffee as bird-friendly. After I wrote Cerulean Blues, I got connected with a coffee company called Birds and Beans that's based in Boston. And the Birds and Beans company, the man who owns the company is Bill Wilson, who's the co-author of this children's book. And Bill said, I have this idea for a children's book that can show all the birds living on a shade-grown coffee farm and then shows where they all go and what other kids these birds meet. So the book was his idea, but he said, I can't make the words good. So he said, if I give you my idea, can you make this into a story? And then we'll try to find an illustrator.
When I show books to my kids that have West Virginia in it, they just think that's the coolest thing ever.
West Virginia is very important to a lot of migratory birds. I mentioned the cerulean warbler, that West Virginia has more breeding cerulean warblers than any other state. We also have more breeding wood thrush than any other state. Pennsylvania is second, I believe. And the cerulean warbler and the wood thrush are two interior forest songbirds that are very rapidly declining. So West Virginia is very, very important for those two species that are really imperiled. So I think putting West Virginia in this book was really important to show that, you know, we have really good birds here. I think West Virginia has the best birds. I mean, we have so many breeding warblers of a variety of species and breeding thrush and our birds of prey. We just have a very rich bird life here in West Virginia, and I think we could celebrate that a little bit more.
Do you have any tips for parents who want to get their kids to learn about bird migration and conservation in general?
Sure. I think that a really important thing for parents who want their kids to learn about bird migration or bird conservation is just to go outside and look around. There are a lot of field guides available that are great. There also are a lot of apps for, you know, phones and tablets that have a lot of great information about birds. Keeping a list is also something that you can do with kids. If you go out and see a bird, learn how to identify some birds, and then keep a list of all the birds that you see. And it's amazing, especially here in West Virginia, in Appalachia, all the different birds you can see just right in your yards.
Katie Fallon with the Avian Conservation Center of Appalachia and co-author of the children's book, Look, See the Bird. Katie, thanks so much.
Thank you very much for talking with me.